Welcome everyone to the Crit Rate Podcast for Wednesday, March 20th. This is episode number 84. I said 83, read it was episode 83.
Okay.
This is episode 84.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm your host, Justin Scurbo, and today I'm joined by Liz Caetano.
Good evening.
She's back.
Justin Chow.
I'm here.
You say she's back every time.
I know. I just feel like it was just
now
funny.
It's his thing. I'm just okay.
we're rolling with it. How are you all doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah. It's a busy week for me because my brother's getting married. So.
Well, are you excited? Are you a best woman?
I'm the officiant.
Whoa.
So,
what does that entail?
Yeah, I've never heard of a family member being the officiant. Usually they come with the venue.
My friend Alyssa. She was the officiant at our wedding.
The person who stands up there and says the stuff?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, so I had to write my officiant speech this week.
How does one become an officiant? Do you have to be like legally vowed in to becoming a...
You go online, you say, how do I become an officiant? You click on the first website, the cheapest one, and then you pay $20 and then they email you a
thing.
Damn,
they're making so much money on nothing.
So yeah, so that's what I did. And I did that months ago, so I'm an officiant. I got it in like less than an hour.
Wow. Was it like a test?
Oh, you're the speaking person. I don't know why I thought...
She just, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the person that's like making sure the day goes well? Maitre D?
Oh, maitre D.
Yeah.
Well, that's the MC.
That person works there.
I confuse those things. That's why I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So you're going to say the stuff?
I'm going to say the stuff.
Whoa. Yeah. Are you like nervous?
Not really.
It's fun. What
are you going to wear?
Well, I have a bridesmaid's dress. So I'm going to wear her. Like, we both have... We're both also...
Wear your wedding dress.
In the bridal party, so we have our outfits.
Offstage.
our outfits are predetermined.
Cool. Somebody's going to have to change.
I figured you would have to be different if you're, like, the person.
Can you wear straight-up suit?
I just started three times. That was horrible. Wow.
What?
I was like, the...
Nobody noticed.
Catch it.
Sorry, listeners.
But anyway, that must be fun. I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because I don't like really care what people think about it, except for like Jenny and James. And I like read it and I'm like, they're going to like this. So.
Yeah.
Is there
really
a
just
Disney
Jenny?
Quote
I'm just concerned
it?
That Jenny's going to like it and she's going
to
like it.
That's fair. You don't know anything. You don't owe anything to your brother.
I was going through like just the, like, the stuff I didn't write, like I was just going through, you know, okay, so do you want me to say like, you know, do you, Jen, take you, James, to be your bot? Like, do you want me to say like the traditional thing or you want to change it up? And as I'm like reading it aloud to her, she's like, I'm getting a little choked up.
Amazing.
Jen, there's a lot more coming.
Yeah, she's going to cry bad on
they're
the day
doing
of.
They said they were going to read their vows to each other at their first look so that they can try to keep it together when they're on.
So is your brother a crier?
He's not a big crier, but he cried at my wedding, which I was surprised by.
Mm.
And he like,
well, you're his little baby sister.
Older.
Oh, he's older.
Little baby sister.
And he like, he's not a big crier, but he's a big feeler, I would say. Mm. Like he's definitely very emotional. And so he doesn't emote often, but he loves Jenny, and so he's gonna lose it.
Yeah, I feel like as I've gotten older, I'm like crying way more.
Yeah,
like,
dude, I cry over nothing now.
Dude, it's weird.
I'm like listening to Frozen, like, oh, so emotional.
No. So I noticed in the last month, I like had a challenging moment crying like three different times, which is very weird. Like one of the times, and this sounds so dumb, it was. And you're gonna laugh because it's like way too heady for too simple of a thing, but we're at Adam and Sandy's house, and James and Logan are watching The Lion King. Now, mind you, I haven't seen The Lion King or any part of it in like 15 years.
Did you watch the scene?
No,
that
no,
it's horrible.
No, not even the scene. It was the very beginning, the first scene, like the first song. Well, because let me give you the context here.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't seen this movie since I was a child, like literally 25 years ago. So I was like, I watched this movie when I was Simba, and now I'm Mufasa, and I fucking died on the inside. Yeah. It was a very strange feeling.
I mean, it's a very like moving scene.
Yeah,
just in general.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wasn't prepared to like feel those feelings because like they're just sitting around and like James is like, that's a giraffe, and I'm just here like, oh my god.
Oh,
yeah. So that was the thing.
That's fascinating, actually. The perspective of watching the show from, or the movie from when you were a kid to now.
Because I haven't seen it since I was then.
Embodying different characters. That's
well, because when you're a kid, you relate you relate to the kid. Yeah, you know what I mean? You're like, that's me.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. As soon as I became a parent, like, every time I consume media, I think about it. Like one generation removed.
I'm Mufasa now.
Yeah. Like if someone's like getting married in a movie or something, or if they're dating, whatever, I'm like, now I'm like, instead of that being me, like that's my son. Yeah. And I am that kid's parent. And like every trial they go through, if someone's being mean to them at school, I'm like, what if somebody is mean to my kid at school? Not were people mean to me?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Totally thinking about things differently.
It's wild.
Yeah.
You see the lens from another angle, or from the tube from the other end?
Yeah.
I don't even know. It's like in Mulan, I used to think of myself as the cricket, and now I'm Emperor Zhao.
And now you're Mushu.
Now I'm Mushu. I'm growing up. I'm making it. Getting there. Then I'm going to be the horse, and then after that.
Yeah. But there's been a lot of moments like that. It's been very weird. Very weird.
That's kind of awesome, though.
Yeah. I mean, if I did watch Mulan now, I would think of myself now as the parents and be like, I can't believe this bitch just ran away from home. Don't you do that to me.
Jax, don't fight in that war.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I would kill him.
Oh, my God. That's adorable.
That would be it.
You're adorable, Liz. You're fucking adorable. God damn it.
All right. I have many things to discuss from a news perspective.
Cool.
But before we get into that, what are you playing other than Baldur's Gate and Final Fantasy?
Honestly, it was hard to tear me away from Final Fantasy just to play Baldur's Gate yesterday.
Mm.
And I don't know. That's it.
I feel like I'm approaching the point where like I feel like the open world stuff in Final Fantasy is like not overstaying its welcome, but I am far less interested in it than the story stuff. The story stuff hits big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the non-story stuff kind of sucks.
Yeah. Dude,
and it doesn't suck like it's bad gameplay. It's just like there's just too much of this, you know?
Yeah.
Like there's just too much.
Yeah.
There's too much of it. It's okay. It's serviceable. Like I'm going through it and I'm like, okay, I don't like love this, but like it's fine. I'll just do it. Like I'm not deterred from it, but
I'm playing the game.
100%. You know? I did jump back into Baldur's Gate, like you said, though, and I was playing a little bit, and I was like, this side stuff is really good.
Yeah. See?
I'm much more invested in doing this kind of stuff than I am in Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's different stuff.
It hits so high. Like, there was a moment that happened recently of like an introduction of another character from the 1997 game. And I literally like, it was 2 a.m. and I just like, I audibly squealed and started clapping. And then I recognized what I did. And I was like, this game is special. This game is special. My memories here are special.
And then when I went back to playing Final Fantasy VII, I kind of like forced myself back into it. But then once I did, I got hit like a big chunk of story, and I was like, well, now I'm invested again.
Yeah, right.
Like, I was just doing too much side stuff. I had to get back to the real story.
Yeah.
But you can, I assume you can go back to the side stuff, but like you don't want to do that after. It's supposed to be paced accordingly, I guess.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm trying to do it as I get
as
to
it
the
comes.
Areas. But then they each one has a little bit too much in it.
Yeah.
It needs like 30% less.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then it would be paced appropriately.
Now the thing that kills me is like when you go into an area and it's like new stuff's unlocked, but they lock fast travel because you're like in a story beat.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck. Mm. Now I'm going to have to like stop what I'm doing later and go back to this crap, you know?
Yeah. I don't like the feeling that like now I got to kind of rush through this story stuff so I can like unlock the game again.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just
how many hours are you guys into the game? Because I'm like mid 70s.
So I looked. Are you tracking in game or on PlayStation? PlayStation says 61.
Damn. I mean, no. In game says 70 something.
Okay. In game probably says like 50, 55 or something.
How is it
like
less
that.
Than the? Really?
Yeah.
Damn. And you're because
the clock stops when you pause the game.
Man, so what am I doing for those 20 extra hours?
I don't know.
Mine says 50. Mid-50s, I think.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's good. It's still good.
I mean, I feel like you're much further than I am.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's not this. All right. We'll talk about this after the podcast without spoiling things, but I assume that you, if you're in chapter 10, and I'm not sure what my chapter was, but if you're seeing what I'm seeing, then.
I think I'm in chapter 9.
I thought I was in chapter 9 too, but maybe I am in chapter 10. I don't know.
I think I'm in chapter 9.
I don't know.
All right, we can't talk through vagaries anymore. Yeah. Let's keep going.
We'll move on.
Move on.
Interesting content. So.
Let's get
still
into...
We still like it.
Still like it. Definitely play it if you haven't played it. Yeah. If you have a PlayStation 5, buy it. If you don't have a PlayStation 5, buy that first, then play it. Actually, I think it's coming out on PC in just another couple months.
Yeah, it is coming out. It is coming to PC soon.
If you're like that.
I was compelled to put it, like, to put Baldur's Gate down and keep playing because I, like, some article popped up that's like, oh, how do you feel about this part of the game? And I was like, I gotta finish this game. Like, I gotta know what happens. I cannot have this spoiled for me.
Okay. So I have three pieces of news for today.
Okay.
One is an update, one is a new thing, and one is a rumor.
All right.
Let's start with the rumor.
You want to start with the rumor?
Yeah.
That's probably the meatiest subject.
Let's start with the other things
Let's start with the other things.
Okay. New thing or update?
Update.
Okay.
Update first.
Update.
Fuck you.
All right. Today... we got the first swath of reviews for Dragon's Dogma 2.
Oh.
And it's kind of killing it. Open Critic has it at an 89.
Whoa,
and Metacritic has it at an 90? 87.
Okay.
So that's pretty strong. That's pretty, basically, everyone reviewed on PS5, which I think is supposed to be the weakest way to play it. Like, that's the one that's locked at 30. So to still be at 87 is pretty cool.
Yeah. Is it going
to
be not locked at 30 on, like, Xbox?
PC, I think, is going to be 60 FPS.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm not going to, yeah.
But I've also played Final Fantasy VII Rebirth at 30, and it was making me nauseous.
Yeah.
It's so choppy.
Dude, there are some times, though, and I know we'd literally just stop talking about Rebirth. There are some times that I look at the screen, and I know that this is sort of like a common sentiment right now, but like it is, that image can be very soft sometimes. Like if you're in the menu.
The resolution.
Yeah, if you're in performance mode and you go into the menu and look at the characters' faces, they're soft as fuck.
Yeah, like they're like,
it's fuzzy. Noticeably pixelated, not good resolution, you know?
Interesting.
Which is weird that it happens in the menu more than anywhere else, but it's like...
I have noticed it, though, specifically. Yeah. All right.
It gets super soft. It's weird. But yeah, so Dragon's Dogma. Dragon's Dogma looking very strong. Looking very strong. Did you guys watch the video that I sent earlier today?
No. With Batman?
No. The
Dragon Ball Z.
The Dragon's Dogma one.
That had Batman in it.
Batman.
The character that was running around like looked like Batman.
Oh, I mean, sort of. I wouldn't say so, but I mean, I guess.
Well, I thought he designed that character specifically to look like Batman.
Here you go, Justin. You can take a look at that.
It's
more so just revealing a certain section of the game and like an interaction with the troll. That's just like,
because he has a cape. His helmet doesn't look like he has ears. What? Do you think he looks like Batman?
Yeah, I thought.
Liz just sees what she wants to see.
Maybe it was the way the cape moved. It reminded me of Arkham.
Are you watching the video?
Yeah. Whoa. What? Wow. I mean, that's cool. So he used the troll as a bridge.
Yeah, but then like his friends are on the other side and he just abandons them.
But the fact that that interaction is even like a thing is just very bizarre and
sick.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like, but now you wonder if there's going to be like a troll at all times when there's a bridge that's out and that's like the thing you have to do.
Yeah, I think it's probably specifically scripted for that moment. Yeah, a lot of the comments were like, we're not impressed.
I mean, did you watch him? Then he like cuts the foot and then he falls down.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is really cool.
He's also in all black.
You're out of your mind.
I
don't know.
Objectively, you're wrong.
Projecting.
Sorry. Yeah, that is called projecting.
I thought, you know why? Also, because I saw a bunch of articles about, like, you can make anything you want in Baldur's Gate. In Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah.
Like, you can make Geralt and you can make... So I thought, like, that it was potentially supposed to be like that because the person was, like, trying to make characters from other IPs.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's also what put the idea in my head.
That's kind of cool.
Have you guys made any sort of like decision on whether or not you're going to play that game?
Yeah, I'm going to play that game for sure.
So that game comes out in 2 days.
Yeah. I'm going to play that game. Not for sure anymore. I don't know. Unicorn Overlord still looks like my next.
That's what I'm feeling too. And it's like, as much as I do want to play Dragon's Dogma, I think it'll be great. I imagine that is also going to be a 100-hour venture.
30 frames is pretty tough. I don't know.
It's a hard sell.
We'll see. I mean, the reviews are...
It looks good. It looks good, though.
Very tempting.
It looks very good.
Yeah.
I really wish it was multiplayer.
But
what, Dragon's Dogma?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool.
Man, that would be great. But unfortunately, the answer's no. So, I don't know. I mean, it looks really good. Yeah. It literally is saying everything that I would want. it to be saying, and it does feel like a game that I want to play, but I feel like I have so much stuff to play still.
I'm going to finish Baldur's Gate next.
I still need to finish Baldur's Gate, and so, I don't know what's going on.
If you'd like to be along the journey, you can be.
I mean, I will, but I don't know.
If you would like to just hop in and out whenever you want, you can also do that too.
I just don't know what's going on.
Also,
I gotta say, my own came to that level so I can know what's happening.
Okay. I mean, I can also explain to you what's going on. I don't know if you would want
that. I was trying to ask that yesterday, but everybody was ignoring me. So sorry. I just was quiet and just followed you guys around like a JRPG character. I literally said that at one point.
You did say that at one
it's
point.
Like, so where are we? Okay.
I think you.
No, we don't have to talk about it now.
Okay. We were in the middle of something else. And then you would ask us all those questions. We're like, oh, let's just finish this. And then I forgot to come back to them.
It's okay. I'm not important. What's the next thing?
Wow. We were in the middle of a battle that he couldn't join us on. So then he was just sitting there watching for a while.
I understand my place.
Yeah.
So Dragon's Dogma 2 looks very promising. I just wish there was more time. Yeah, I still haven't even like
powers in the day.
There's still a part of me that's like in Persona 3 world too, where I'm like, I want to go play that game,
dude.
Like
on my deathbed, I'm sure
not even on the radar.
On my deathbed, they're gonna be like, "Do you have any regrets?" And I'm like, "Check out my iPhone notepad that says backlog."
I should have finished Persona. Yeah.
I got a good chunk of the way into it. Like I don't think I'm like very far, but I feel like I'm like, you know, I took a big stab at that game. Yeah. Took a big scoop out.
Cool.
All right, the new thing. I've been desperately trying to get this working on the TV, but today was a very interesting day as we got the first reveal trailer for Marvel's 1943. Did you guys watch this?
Nope.
No.
So Liz is going to care a lot about this. Okay. Justin, I don't think you're going to care a lot about this.
Yeah, I might go to the bathroom.
So Marvel 1943 is the Captain America / Black Panther crossover game that's being made and directed by,
M. Night Shyamalan.
That's being directed by Amy Hennig of Uncharted 1, 2, and 3.
Amazing.
So
that's cool.
Famed storyteller. Mm-hmm. Some of the visuals in this game are insane.
Yeah.
Like, they're using some new Unreal 5 facial capture stuff that is just on a totally different level. Like, I'm going to try to find...
Is it interesting enough to make you want to play it?
Well, I am a Captain America fan. I do enjoy Captain America quite a bit.
In fact, I do have a metal shield in my basement.
Yeah,
I actually do have a metal shield. Here, let me show you an example of what I'm talking about. So look at the facial capture in this game. It is kind of insane.
Wow, it looks like a movie.
Right?
It looks like AI like made.
It's like almost, I think it's as good, if not better than like intro cutscene to Helldivers good. intro cutscene. Did you remember when you start Helldivers and the guy's like, no! Like,
yeah.
You like, think that was good?
That facial capture was unbelievable, yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Really? You think so?
You don't think so? When's the last time you watched that? It was nuts.
I didn't.
I watched it a few times because I thought I had to, and then I remember thinking to myself, being like, "They look like the Sims."
Wow, this looks good.
Are you looking at these faces?
Yeah, especially once Black Panther shows up, yeah. He looks very good.
Yeah, it's kind of insane,
yeah.
But really, the storytelling from this is what's going to make this kind of go to the next level. Amy Hennig is a legend when it comes to this stuff, and she's been attached to this project since the very beginning, so I am curious on that level what could come of it. And I did Captain America, so I would be I'd be curious to see what comes of this game.
Yeah, I love Black Panther.
So. I mean, in general, frankly, I'm kind of burned out on superhero anything, so it's very unappealing from a superhero perspective, because I just really don't give a shit at all.
But I think that good games are good.
Yeah.
Like, when The Last of Us came out, how burned out were we on zombie stuff? Like, I didn't give a crap about zombies. It's one of the greatest games of all time.
That's fair.
Like, just make a good game. I won't care.
Yeah.
You know, it won't matter if there's superheroes in it to me.
Yeah, are you on Jeff Keighley's Twitter?
No, I'm on the YouTube.
Oh, okay. Because they, like, I think the off-screen footage is pretty insane.
I mean, it looks very good. I don't know the background story of this.
I don't know either.
Like, if it's related, I don't know if this is...
I believe it's Black Panther's grandfather or something. I don't know.
Oh, because they're all Black Panther.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, like, modern age, whatever.
Right, but every... There's lots of Black Panthers.
Yeah, yeah. This is what I mean, where it's just like, I don't know. It's hard for me to keep up with all this stuff. I like Captain America just as, like, you know, he's an iconic hero.
Right.
So.
It's also, yeah, there's so many different side stories and tangents and
yeah.
alternate universes of, you can't possibly keep up with everything.
Yeah, it's
you just got to pick one. Yeah. I like Batman. I know most of his stuff, and that's it.
Well, that was it. I mean, when I first got into comics, it was during what they call modern age of right. Marvel. And I started with, like, the Winter Soldier trade. Like, that was the first comic I ever bought.
Yeah.
And basically everything from there on I was into. So that led into Civil War. That led into Siege and, you know, all the way up to Avengers vs. X-Men, which sucked.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was cool. Okay. Last topic that I have teed up, which I think should be an interesting thing to discuss here.
The rumor.
So we got a lot of interesting leaked information about the PlayStation 5 Pro.
Oh.
From specs to more specs. Wow. It's basically just all specs.
Where are the leaks coming from?
So they are coming from... Aspects. So this is from Video Games Chronicle. The apparent specs for the as-yet-unannounced PlayStation 5 console have been shared online. Documentation explaining the console's specifications was originally leaked to Moore's Law is Dead before being detailed by Inside Gaming and then verified by IGN, which says that the document comes from Sony Interactive Entertainment Developer Network. So, fairly credible. Hmm. So
one of their developers.
Hmm. So, what okay. they're saying...
Okay.
What they're saying about this, I think it might just be easier for me to read this article because it'll kind of contextualize what some of this stuff means.
Okay.
So I'm just going to go for it. So the spec suggests that the PlayStation 5 Pro's CPU will be identical to that's inside the PlayStation 5 currently. Okay. But the new console will have a, quote, high CPU frequency mode, which increases the CPU by 10% to 3.85 gigahertz, but reduces GPU performance by around 1%. So the GPU itself is powered by a 33.5 teraflop versus the PlayStation 5's 10.28 teraflops. So three times the teraflops.
So many flops.
It's a lot of flops.
When does flops does it then?
Does it then describe what all that means?
But this doesn't mean that it'll... Next sentence. But this doesn't mean that it'll be three times as powerful. As The Verge notes, the changes to AMD's architecture means that it's difficult to directly compare teraflops between PS5 and PS5 Pro, and that in reality, the comparison is more like 10 versus 17. So almost double power. Mm-hmm. Rendering is about 45% faster, is what they say. So,
okay.
The console's apparent upscaling and anti-aliasing are also listed in the specs, named PSSR, which stands for a proprietary upscaling called PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution. It's believed that this could be a proprietary DLSS-like solution suggested by Giant Bomb last year. So, do we know what DLSS is? Because I can describe this if we need. So... DLSS is a version of upscaling that doesn't require something to output at a native resolution, but essentially super samples it post-processing. So, like, in order for a game to output native 4K is very taxing. It requires a lot of power. So what instead it will do is it will run at 1080p, and then we'll use this, like, super sampling filter that will push it up to 4K or 1440p or something like that. DLSS, as it's used right now, is doing that. It's essentially compensating resolution for higher frame rate, basically. Mm. So what this will allow it to do, there was a subsequent article that I posted in our thread that talks about the DLSS in particular. So it says that it will be able to, it'll have the equivalent upscaling of 1080p to 4K. And we'll report, and then they also say it'll reportedly be backwards compatible. So I think that what this essentially is trying to do is remove the need for quality versus performance mode.
Okay.
Because if it's outputting at 1080p and then using this super sampling to go up to 4K, then you're going to have 60 at 4K.
Then it would even, yeah. That basically. It could run 60 at 1080p, but it would look like 60 at 4K.
Yeah, it's not like really 4K, but it's like as good as it could possibly be. So
without having native 4K.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I would like to not make the choice anymore.
I would agree. And
I mean, that is the next logical step.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, it's like the power created this problem, right? It made us choose. And now they're saying potentially that we don't have to choose.
It's interesting that that's the ceiling that they're running into, particularly it being like a power issue and like how they have to get around that, which is interesting. It's like filling in each individual pixel in a 4K screen is just so much harder. Especially if like you have the GPU doing all the work versus like something on the side that like takes what you have. The GPU just does this one thing and then it just multiplies that thing and scales it to a point where it is compatible, I guess, or close to 4K, but you're not getting true 4K at that point, right?
But it almost doesn't matter because if it looks great, like you could show me 1440p and tell me it's 4K and I'd be like, sure, you know?
Is it 1440p 4K?
No, 2160 is 4K.
Idiot. Oh, how dare you ask that question?
No, but it is cool. And honestly, like, frankly, I'm like in on new tech enough where like this was kind of already sold to me before knowing what the specs are. But
it just needs to say pro and I'm buying it.
Yeah.
Sold.
But like knowing that this is sort of the direction that they're heading in gives me a lot of faith. And honestly, they're likely trying to do it because Grand Theft Auto 6, right? They probably need it to be the best version of Grand Theft Auto 6 that you can play, like, straight up. Mm-hmm. So it would make sense for them to release it that way because that's gonna move consoles. And if you were like, this is the best way to play this game.
The GTA 6 combo package. I wonder if...
Yeah.
Not Halo. Xbox has to come up with their thing too, I guess, around the same time in order to compete at that point.
I mean, we know that they're developing,
said,
right?
Yeah, they said that they've got a mid-gen refresh in the
works. So, I'm curious, like, I mean, it sounds like PlayStation didn't leak it, but I just feel like the timing is coincidental that we found out about, like, Xbox doing a mid-generation thing, and then finding out about PlayStation doing a mid-generation refresh.
But it's about that time, right? They both came out, what, like, 6 years ago, 2018?
No.
Switch came out in 2017. This came out.
No, Switch came out in like 2015.
No, 2017. That's when.
2017.
Zelda came out.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I base a lot of things off of this particular calculation, which is the Switch coming out. So I feel like I know, but like if I'm wrong, then all those calculations are wrong.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. Like, I don't think that they leaked it. It's just interesting to now have the comparison.
Yeah.
Of like
2020, like, November 12th, 2020.
Okay. Yeah. Is that, that makes sense. 4 years.
Yeah. So
cycle. Yeah, like, is information about Xbox also going to leak? Or are they just going to release it?
I don't know.
You think that's cool?
If this was going to match with Grand Theft Auto 6, that would be this holiday season, right?
Yeah. And they said the mid generation Xbox was this holiday season.
I think so. I don't remember specifically.
All right. So this then comes sometime in June. We'll get another hit of what it actually is. And then it gives us, 4 months to prepare our wallets. So that they
right. Yeah. When do you think season. When? Yeah. When do you think the announcement's going to be?
That's a great question. I mean, it could be during
Summer Games Fest.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. During E3 time.
Yeah.
Do we watch anything during Summer Game Fest? I feel like I always...
There's usually like a direct, and I mean, we were in Japan last year and it was like a showcase and a Nintendo Direct and all that.
Right? Tokyo Game Show was happening during that time. I remember we were leaving just as Tokyo Game Show.
That's right.
Was starting.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would assume that they would probably have a hit during the summer. I mean, especially if they're getting everybody prepared to buy by the end of the year. Like, you want to tell people, like, this is what we're going to have for the holiday season. So prepare yourself or tell kids to ask for it, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because, like, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I think, is kind of... It's kind of serendipitous that this is the first time that I've been, like... You know, it's always been a no-brainer that I've gone into performance mode with, like, any game. Any game that offers performance mode is, like, that's just where I'm going to be. Like, that's just it, you know?
Who plays in... Doesn't play
in quality mode, dude. Yeah. I don't know. That's like people that don't turn their TVs into game mode. It's like,
you know who does? Jason.
Wow.
What?
Right?
How?
Right?
He is oh, corrupt. Yeah. You need
God
to
of War. God of War.
I did kill I was him. Like that on the first one.
Kill him immediately.
It made me very sick to watch him play God of War. Isn't and I remember funny? He was watching me play one time and he's like, "What's wrong with your game? Like, it looks terrible." Like, what do you mean? He's like, "Let me fix it for you." And he put it in quality mode and I was like, "Oh, my eyes."
See, that's bizarre to me because he's a shooter player. Like, he's like a shooter guy. And it's like,
he had the same reaction. He's like, "You're telling me that you think that this looks better than what I'm playing?" I was like, "Yes, 100%.
It's like I'm pressing buttons and I can see what's happening.
Right?
Nicely. Right? You know?
As it was so janky.
Yeah.
Like, no, 30 FPS is skipping around. They're sort of hopping around the screen. Yeah.
It's brutal at this point. But but like I was saying, I almost always go into, like, it's basically a default that I go into performance mode.
Yeah.
But Final Fantasy VII is the first time that I've been in a performance mode where I've looked at the screen and I'd be like, this resolution's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, not all the time. Certainly not all the time. But enough times where I look at it and I'm like, that's just like, are my contacts drying up? Like, what's going on here? Like, something's not right. You
I
know?
Also thought it was weird that when you start up Final Fantasy, it forces you to play in quality mode for a while.
I feel like most games do that because they want it to, like,
I feel like a lot of the games either give you the option right up front, like as when you're setting your initial settings of brightness and whatever, I feel like they usually ask you, or you can change it like immediately.
Well, I think I always dive into the options menu. Are you that kind of person where, like, when the game starts you go to options before you start the game? I almost always go
depending
into options first.
On the game, like if they didn't give me the option to do what to, you know, pick my gameplay mode, then I go in, or if there's like some accessibility features I want to adjust.
Yeah,
like usually I make
Last
like,
of Us does that.
Yeah, I do, you know, hold instead of tap, or like I'll make the font bigger sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Or change when they do that. So yeah, so I typically do that.
Yeah.
But like in Final Fantasy, you couldn't pause the first sequence for a while.
Yeah.
You couldn't go into the main menu, so you couldn't see those things. I just kept being like, I don't want to play this sucker.
This is a totally stray thought that's just diving in, but I sent that DBZ Sparking Zero footage, which looks fucking awesome. Dude, it looks so fucking good.
I seem really excited about
it. Yeah.
There's a beam clash at a certain point in it, and you can tell how you interact with the beam clash, and in previous Budokai games or Tenkaichi games it was a button mashing thing,
right?
But in this one's not a button mashing thing, it's like this weird like timing based thing, and I was like, that's cool. And I immediately thought of Liz. I was like, if she played this game she'd be happy that she doesn't have to mash this button. Yeah, it looks sick. It looks so good.
Dude, I remember Budokai Tenkaichi during college, and that was like,
dude, we were so vicious at that game.
I feel like
our fraternity like turn that building upside down playing that game. We were everybody played it, dude. My roommate choked out my best friend because that happened.
Why?
Wow, this does look because really he beat him. Good.
Yeah, he literally choked him out. Like, he was standing next to him. This was Schnips and Bowden, and Bowden lost, and he freaked out and he choked out Brandon. Like, he's just like grabbed him by the neck and started choking him out. It was so funny.
Dude, this looks good.
Another instance, Bowden went outside and punched a wall and broke his hand.
Yeah,
actually real thing that happened.
Yeah, forecast for a while.
Yeah, it was funny. My man's got some anger problems.
Yeah, I feel like this is a Bowden problem.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, we were passionate when it came to Tenkaichi. We were, like, very, very into it. It's awesome.
Deeply feeling.
Yeah.
This looks so good. I'm down. Oh, yeah. My God, Tenkaichi. Yeah. I haven't played a good Dragon Ball game in a long time.
Yeah, man.
Especially after all the Akira news. Ugh.
I think that's going to be the one. So, yeah. PlayStation 5 Pro likely coming out this year.
Along with all the additional, you know, output and whatnot that it could do, we can get some, like, multi-game flip screening, whatever it's called. You know what I'm talking about?
Can I tell you that my...
Xbox does the whole
quick resume.
Quick resume,
Quick resume is the shit.
Yeah, that's what I need.
Quick resume would be very nice. Also, I'm just like excited about the idea of having a console that just has like double the internal storage. Give me like 4 terabytes. Give me something, because goddamn, I run out of space
a lot.
So
my
fast.
My friend has a 2 terabyte thing made specifically for the PlayStation, and they don't even. They delete nothing. They have all their games on there. And I'm like, that sounds amazing.
I could fill it up fast.
I feel like I could
fill it up.
I feel like, yeah.
Like,
right.
100 gigs? Because I had to delete Gran Turismo, and I was like, fuck. That's going to take forever to install again.
Yeah.
Gran Turismo was like 120 gigs.
Yeah, yeah.
Final Fantasy was 120 gigs. Yeah. You think Dragon's Dogma is going to be less than 100 gigs? You're crazy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, back in the day, Bill Gates was like, no one's ever going to need 1 gigabyte.
Yeah, right. Insane. Yeah, right.
That's crazy.
It's like 1 gigabyte are, like, doesn't even cover the fonts on this right. machine.
So we'll see. Interested to see what the price points are. I mean, that's already a pretty pricey machine. So.
It's going to be $600.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, $600 is probably the price tag that they can't hit because of how much it fucked them during the PS3 era.
Yeah.
So $550 probably.
I'm thinking $550.
Yeah, $550 sounds about right.
Or they just hit it at $5 and then lower the cost to all the PlayStations that are like the regular ones.
Honestly, I'm a little stressed out because like when I think about this, I was like, I just don't want to go back into a season where I have to start like finding consoles again. Because, like, I know I can do it.
Yeah, I don't really feel that pain, do I? Because Euro's here.
Well, that's the thing. It's like,
and everybody's console.
My last situation, I feel like I handled pretty well.
You did.
Every single person in this room got hooked up because I figured it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then some, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got one for. I took.
You got two. You got one for you and one for James.
Yeah, I took another one of those.
I got one for Alex. I got one for you. I got one for my brother.
I got
one for Adam Sweeter. But I called you. I was like, get in the car. Yeah.
I did that, and I brought my entire family with all the credit cards I had.
Yeah.
So what happened to, and not to change the subject, but like what happened to the whole Switch 2 stuff?
I think it's still brewing.
Like I've heard that
they're just going to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, yes, whenever they want to do it.
Yeah. And you know what? They're going to make millions.
Yeah.
They will make millions. I did hear that there was supposedly a delay to the Switch 2, but I don't really know what that means because I know nothing about the Switch 2.
Frankly, yeah. I just like don't even really care. Like I
care.
I like my Switch a lot, but I definitely don't play it enough to really feel any sort of pain from it. You know what I mean?
That's kind of what I think too.
Like anything that I've played in it, when I was playing Mario RPG, I was like, this looks great. Yeah. Like I love this right now. Like I'm having a great time, you know?
But when I was playing Tears of the Kingdom, it was dropping frames like left and right.
Yeah. I didn't play that for very long, so
yeah, it was struggling. Every time I use any of those like spirit whatever abilities, it was struggling.
Justin, is this your deepest regret? Is not finishing Tears of the Kingdom.
That's what you're gonna say on your deathbed.
Honestly,
you're like, I didn't save the world from Ganon.
I want to get. Oh man, I go back into that game, and I honestly would play Breath of the Wild over that game. But like, I think
it's okay not to play it. If you didn't like it, don't play.
Yeah. Listen, you're just not a Zelda fan anymore. It's fine, you know.
Could be that.
See, don't listen to any of that. You're an adult. You got limited time in your adult life to do things that you want. Why would you spend any of your time doing something that you don't enjoy?
Because the game doesn't even have trophies.
I feel like. Yeah, right. I don't know. I do feel like I should, but yeah.
You should do whatever makes you happy. Does playing Tears of the Kingdom bring you joy?
I think it could. Does I think it? I still believe in the fact that it could. But yeah. I know
has
that,
it yet?
I know that. Well, I think the reason why it didn't was because I was playing it wrong, which I hated the fact that that happened, but like.
You were playing it wrong.
Yeah. For those listening right now, the reason why I didn't know what the hell was going on was because in the very beginning, you're supposed to go left and like go over this bridge and meet Impa.
It is like
I was like 30 hours
stone's
in.
Throw from
it
where
couldn't
you
be
start.
More obvious. It's yes. like you wake up from a cutscene and she's standing in front of you.
Yeah, it says go right here. You should do that first.
And particularly,
and then you didn't even know what we were talking about.
I didn't know what you were talking about. I didn't know what you were talking about.
I don't think it ultimately like took away or maybe
I just didn't know why I was doing the things that I was doing, and it was like, when am I gonna see Zelda? Like I thought I'm like four temples down now, and I'm like, I still don't know where Zelda is. Like,
but
what's
the
story here?
See,
like,
yeah, I mean, I now you get to have this chunk of the game where you just download all the Zelda files.
Yeah, I guess
yeah, I mean you can get all of the tiers immediately.
That was pretty much what I did. That's where my last play session stopped. I got to Gerudo, and like the first I don't know. The first thing that happened in Gerudo was like very like cryptic. It's like it's not a straightforward thing. It's like you have to like listen to what people are saying, and like there's like this weird stealth thing. And I was like, this sucks. I was like, I don't want to do any of this.
Oh yeah.
I was like, I don't want to do any of this. So then I just ended up flying around and finding memories. And I was like, this is way more fun. Like I would much rather do this.
That. Like that's the kind of stuff you do. Like you go around, you have to talk to people. They kind of give you hints about what you're supposed to be doing. Like You can't just hit A and cycle through everything there.
I went through this game differently than I did Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild, I was like kind of roaming around aimlessly, and I was doing things, and I was happening upon things. In this game, for some reason, I tried really hard to stay on task and not let this happen, which then I think... I just like they're telling me to do this thing and go in this direction. I'm going to do that because I want to like see what the story progressions are instead of like accidentally hitting it all in different directions. But I feel like
you didn't get any of the tears, so you have no idea what the story is.
Well, I mean, yeah, I missed that one part. Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like the intention was set, but the execution was the absolute opposite.
And yeah.
I feel like that's probably what fucked up my. People really love Tears of the Kingdom. And that was like the one thing that I was so dumbfounded about. And then some of the, like, I don't know, some of the YouTube thumbnails that I was reading was, like, the worst, like, the worst masterpiece or some stuff like that. Like, the, I don't know. And I was like, I get it.
Perfectly perfect.
Perfectly.
Oh, and then you found the scooter, and you said that made the game not fun anymore.
That's true. I don't know. Anyway, when I go back, I really do think, well, I look at that, and then I look at, like, Unicorn Overload, and I'm just like, oh, Unicorn Overload looks so good. So, like,
that's it. You know, I look at Unicorn Overload, and I'm like...
God, dude, it looks like, so good.
There's gonna be some drawing of food in that, and I'm gonna be like, damn, that looks like good ass food.
That's what I want to play. I did like Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I would too. So I want to get it, and we'll get them.
Hey, but I was the only one. Tears of the Kingdom. We're talking about the Switch 2 out of us.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm.
And I just wanted to mainline it. I think that was the part that got frustrating for me. Was like I was prepared to just do nothing but beat Ganon. And then I hit this stupid stealth part of Gerudo, and I was like, now it's like, I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah.
And, like, that's really annoying. Because, like, I don't even know, like, who I need to talk to tell me the thing that I have to do, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just, like, in this, like, ooh, they're fucking, like, zombies, and there's some mist on the ground.
Yeah.
Don't go over there. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I did. I ran to that part, and I was like, this seems like a problem, and I abandoned it, and then it came back and was like, oh, it's still a problem. I have to figure out. And I'm not just under level. This is like a problem I need to work through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Liz, do you know what game you're going to play after Final Fantasy in Boulders?
No. Rise of the Ronin.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, that's coming out at the end of the month.
It's coming out in like a.
It comes out in like 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very soon.
Yeah. It's on my calendar. Literally this Friday.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, I'm at the wedding.
Yeah.
So. Well, the funny thing about Rise of the Ronin,
I'll bring a TV.
I don't know if this will move the needle for you in one direction or the other, but I have heard initial feelings on it are calling it basically a cross between Dark Souls and Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, that's cool.
But that's odd. That's not an open world game. That's not an Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah.
Like, but that might. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
You know, that's a weird comparison.
Yeah. I would like to see some reviews on it.
I'd like to see some
specifically curated to people that like to play like me.
See, that would be cool. That would be useful.
Yeah.
Well, you might find out. You should go on CritRate.
Yeah.
And any of our listeners should go on CritRate.io. And if you're playing Rise of the Ronin, you should go in and rate that game. So other Vantagists like Liz can make the right choice.
Because these things you're saying to me are like, I don't love Dark Souls. So would I like this game?
But here's the thing. When people say that it's like Dark Souls, I mean,
like the combat?
Well,
every combat's like Dark Souls now.
No, but like...
Light attack, heavy attack.
Well, but like the same. Like the, like the Jedi Survivor games, like the... Or what's it called? Like those games?
Right, yeah.
That, in essence, has a lot of Dark Souls elements to it, where it's like there's a bonfire mechanic and a heal. Like it's,
and I like that. That's what I mean.
So it's like, so what is that? So when somebody says challenge level, I
see what you're saying.
When somebody says Dark Souls and Ninja Gaiden, it's like, okay, what parts?
Right.
What are you talking about? Am I dodge rolling? Am I worried about iframes to get around a guy that has a health bar?
Yeah.
Am I going to lose all my souls? What the fuck? You know?
Yeah, you're right. Jedi is it's just Dark Souls. But not as hard. And in space.
This could be that game. And I have to imagine, since it's an open world game, there has to be a certain level of accessibility to it. You know?
Yeah. Like, and I mean,
there's not going to be a boss at every outpost tower that you have to take down or whatever.
Yeah. Jedi was my game of the year. Though now that I played more Baldur's Gate, I would have picked Baldur's Gate if I had more experience with it. For sure.
Baldur's Gate is good, man.
Jedi is still right there. I am very interested in playing it.
Not to take away that, like, Jedi is, you know, not good. It's very, very good. But Baldur's Gate is just like a generation defining game. It's one of those just absolute bangers.
Yeah. Certified banger.
Certified bangers.
In fact, a CB.
Yeah.
Is the wrapper off on Hellblade?
Yeah.
Have you been playing?
No. Cool. I installed it because that's going to be that's going to be an in-betweener. I have like two in-betweeners, which is that because that's 7 hours to beat it, which is like nothing. Like I could beat that in like 2 days. And that game, Brothers, Tale of Two Sons, that's an in-betweener. That's going to be 5 hours or less. Like, so I'll be down to play those games. Lies of P, don't know when I'm getting back to that. I still have it installed, but don't know when I'm going to get back to that.
I mean, Alex, when he eventually finished Lies of P, had very good things to say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. And I'm still so intrigued by those comments I heard about the ending being like really cool. Like, I want to see what's up with that.
Yeah.
And also, the game looks like a game that I would want to be playing.
It's a vibe. It is Bloodborne. Like, it's very much like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I've been also playing WarioWare Move It with Allie.
It's pretty good.
It's fun. I like it a lot.
They have a lot of really good motions.
Yeah, it's definitely
it's a good party game.
Yeah, it has a certain level of jank that's similar to Smooth Moves, where it's like not everything works exactly the way that it should, but like who cares? You know, it's like it doesn't really matter.
That's not why you're playing.
Exactly. We're
you're not playing to min-max it.
No, it's to look like a chicken. Do chicken-like things. You know?
Are you standing?
Yeah, definitely. How could you play it not standing?
I know. Well, that's the part where, like, at certain points when me and my sister or Arthur were all playing it, we'd just be, like, tired and just try to sit and do the things. And
that's lame.
And it ruined the magic of it.
Yeah, no. Like, Allie and I are playing it in small doses, like, every once in a while. So, like, we're just doing the story mode, like, exclusively. So, we'll, like...
Yeah, same.
We'll do, like, two sections. Mm-hmm. And then we're done. Like,
this is Warrior Smooth Moves, the new one. What's it called again?
Move It.
Move It.
Yeah. I got that on like a ridiculous sale.
Nice.
I think it was on Amazon for like $25. I was like,
bought it for full
all day.
I definitely bought it for full price.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't buy it initially. I think it just came out at a weird time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of games.
I would like to play Mario Wonder as well. If you ever
I don't see have that physically.
I know. If you ever see it's on sale.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Let me know.
It's great. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't beat it.
Yeah. You did beat it?
I didn't.
Oh, you should beat it.
We got pretty far, and then I think something came out.
Dude, I got...
Oh as it God. Always does.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear... This is like my biggest shame right now. I am at... So we beat the game. We did everything. Okay? And now at the end of the game, there's this like super mega hard... Like the hardest level of all time, right? It's like there's the last level and then 10 other levels. And then this is like the super fucking crazy level. Like, you know, Mario World, how there's like the Star Worlds. Okay. It's like that, but it's like the hardest one of those. And in order to like fully complete a stage, you have to beat it like from beginning to end without, you know, dying all the way. And then you have to land on the flag, the correct flag. And you have to land on the top of the flag. Right, like you have to like touch the top of the flag.
Yeah,
all of those criteria count to like a completeness thing. So this level is so hard, like losing 50 lives on one stage hard, like and really putting my full effort into it, bullshit hard, right? And I get to the end, and I am so stressed out, and I'm like, oh my God, like because if I lose my last life, then you have to start from the beginning again.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy fuck, like I cannot do this. So I get to the end and I miss the top of the flagpole by the littlest bit. And I got so frustrated that I just put it down because I'm like, there's no way I could play through this whole stage again. Because the stage is like half an hour long. It's so long.
Damn. Yeah. Holy crap.
It's so hard. I'm like, it's so hard.
Yeah.
So that's like a stain that's on my record. It's just like, I just need to do that whole fucking level again.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've lost the muscle memory at this point. So it's like, I don't even think I could really do it.
That's the worst feeling. Like, you know? You're playing a game and you're doing, like, I feel like this is happening to me in Final Fantasy sometimes. Like, I did the sit up thing, whatever, mini game. And I was like, as hard as this is, as much as I hate it, if I put it down right now, I'm going to have to go through all of this again like wind back up and have all the same muscle memory. Like as soon as you start it, you have to beat it. And that's it.
I have hard rules with that. Like if it's late
otherwise
at night,
you're back at zero.
If it's 10:30 and I get to a point where I've done everything and there's one new mini game left, like a new piano thing or whatever, like I won't even start it. I won't even try it once because I'm like, if I go in this,
I'm going
to be gone for an hour.
I'm going to have to relearn all of this stuff.
Have you guys started all of them so far? I've started every single one.
No.
It's fucking so hard, and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Some of them are like they're not even on beat. Like, it doesn't make sense. Or, but I've gotten a star in every single one of those. Oh my god!
Sometimes I'll be playing, and all of a sudden it'll be like, "You've missed these three notes." I'm like, "No, I didn't." Like, what are you talking about? I hit them.
Oh,
there's some sensitivity, I guess, to like the joysticks that like they accidentally go like they like accidentally like reverberate back like in a little bit direction. So all of a sudden it thinks that you've hit that note, and because you hit that note, you've missed these three other notes that are happening at the same time.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
The second I miss one, I just immediately restart.
The Baird song broke me.
That song was very hard. That song was very hard. The one after that was way harder.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet.
I did the Baird song.
The Baird song was tough. That was in North Coral. That was rough.
I think
that was the first really hard one.
Yeah. That was the first really hard one. And at this point, I was like, dude, I missed like one note. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is ridiculous.
Dude. And
And the startup and the retry are you trying to start them all? So long. So long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one after that, the Chocobo one.
I don't even think I tried it.
Dude, it's rough.
It made no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It made no sense.
It made no sense.
Yeah. Notes were just happening whenever they felt like it.
Did you at least complete it to like the A rank or whatever?
Yeah, I've done all of them to A.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's items related. I'm going to get the items. But,
yeah.
But no. I did I went and I saw that the whatever Condor game had a hard mode, and I played one level once, and it was like so much harder than I was prepared for.
Yeah.
And that is when I decided, I was like, I'm not going to do this. And
if
this is required to getting the platinum and to like 100% of this game, then I'm going to give up right now. I'm okay with not starting things. And I'm like, because it's all probably related to finishing this game.
Yeah.
And I've decided this is not how I want to spend my time.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because it's like that.
Respect yourself.
That guy has a thing that's like, as long as it's A ranked on the piano things. So I'm like, that's
so the A rank.
But it's like, but then why would the star rank exist?
Exactly.
Why would it exist?
That's how I
know for a fact that it's not a trophy.
It's not a trophy.
No, but you know what I am suspicious of? I think that it might be one of the awards in Johnny's thing. So it's like, and there is a trophy for doing all of those. Which is, that's going to be a fucking nightmare. I guarantee that's going to be the like the killer for most people in this game. If there's a
trophy for getting all of Johnny's stuff, then definitely every single thing that we have encountered so far, you need to do at 100% in order to get a trophy.
The ones you're missing, they don't even tell you which one, like how to do it.
Yeah,
or, like,
I mean, it's
going to
take a lot of Googling.
Yeah. And there's a lot.
A lot of trophy guys.
Three walls worth of shit.
It's cool, I got big empty patches.
I'm down for it. I imagine most of it's going to come organically, like as you put like Queen's Blood and all this sort of stuff.
I don't know. Some of it, though, like one I looked up because it was like, I was like, all right, well, like, let me see what some of the earlier ones. I bet I encountered them. I could do them again. And one was like, go back to do the frog thing again.
Oh, I'm under the impression that that happens later.
Yeah. Which means
I think a lot of them happen later.
Yeah. So I don't want to do that.
The frog thing?
Yeah.
The frog thing was pretty easy.
Yeah, that was bad.
I hated it. Yeah, but it wasn't fun.
Yeah, but it was fine.
I did not enjoy it.
It's Final Fantasy VII Fall Guys.
And now there's going to be a new frog game. Like, I don't like being the frog.
All right.
Yeah, that's fair.
Respect
your
time. I think the only minigames that I really...
the frog.
The only ones that I really didn't like were the sit-up one, because it was just taxing, you know?
It was bullshit. I had enough sit-ups. It was also kind of random. Like, sometimes...
Did you do it? Did you get the last thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes she would get, like, 54, and other times she would get, like, 48. I just had to hope that you played at a level where she got, like, 49 or 50.
Yeah.
And so that
I remember
you could
getting the end and just hoping. I'm like, I've done it perfect the whole time. Now I just needed to fuck up.
Yeah.
Just to fuck up once, and then it's fine.
That's what I mean. It's that random element I did not appreciate in that game. It should have been easier.
Is there any minigame that you particularly didn't like?
I'm trying to think. I mean...
There's like the battler thing.
Honestly, the piano one was rough. Like, cause I did try doing Barrett's for like an hour or more probably. And I was just like, at a certain point, I was just like, I don't understand why I'm not getting this one part.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm just like, you'd be very good at that. Because
you just
came off theater
rhythm to the end. And I'm just going to take a day and I'm just going to fucking bash through it. So that's why I'm not even worrying about it right now. I'm just like collecting these scores and I'm like,
I'll do this
cool.
again later.
Like,
yeah.
There's another minigame that's introduced in, I think, the next area that you guys are getting to. That's like, it's like okay until there's one bullshit one, which is kind of how all of them go. It's like they're all fine until it's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like Four Condor was fine until it was bullshit, you know?
Yeah. Which is almost, I'm honestly kind of okay with, because I feel like it's almost a little nostalgic.
Which,
yeah.
Like having a mini game that's so incredibly hard and stupid.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, I feel like I'm six again. Like,
yeah. I guess so. It's like at the point where you can like see the line of the code, it's like now it's no longer about skill as much as it's about like, no, I guess it is still about skill. No,
it just demands perfection, you know?
Yeah.
The piano is a perfect example where it's just like, no, it's like, this is just the way you have to do it. Right. Like,
yeah. Memorize the entire 3 minutes.
It's like, it's not going to change. Like, it's not going to be random. Like the sit up thing. It's like, no, you've got to change. Like, you've got to just clutch it out. And honestly, the time that I did the Barrett one and the Chocobo one was just me like really training and replaying the first half like a million times.
Right.
And then I just got so lucky and just fucking clutched the second half.
I mean, I would say like Theater Rhythm, the other game, Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm, like that is learning the sections of the game on like hard mode, and then you go through the entire thing and you're like, oh, this part and then this part and then remember this part.
What's funny about Theater Rhythm versus this one is like Theater Rhythm has, it's almost
it's
like
tactile. It's like more tactile.
This game, like the piano makes you focus, where it's just like, don't move your hands unless you have to. Yeah. It's like, be perfect, right? Yeah. Whereas Theater Rhythm is like, there's a lot to do, but it's almost like stretching your brain to thinking like, because there's like four tracks that you're trying to pay attention to and like inputs that do the same things in different places. It's very challenging.
Yeah.
It's a different way to do it for sure. Yeah.
I do think that the controls of the piano are over-engineered and kind of mushy. I really do wish it was more tactile.
I think they're mushy.
Like I wish there was buttons that I would be pressing instead of like trying to do diagonals with my joystick.
Yeah. And like you don't really know where it's going to go. And
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I like rhythm games. I was all about it when I first saw it, and then I started playing, and I was like, "Oh no!"
Have you changed your DualSense Edge to any sort of controller input? Like, are you using the back pedals for anything?
Yeah, I'm using them for.
Oh, can you use them for the?
You can remap them to any button you want to.
Even the joystick directions.
No, I was talking about in this minigame in particular. I use like the right back one for dodge. Just because it's like, I don't know, it's just an extra thing.
That's cool.
Yeah. Keeps my finger on the stick so I can like dodge in directions very easily.
No, the only one I really use consistently is I put L3 on the left one to sprint, to start and stop sprinting.
Mm. Okay. I mean, you could just hold R2. Same thing.
Yeah, but I don't want to hold.
I switched between the two.
Did you just...
Yes, because I hold my controller like this.
So weird.
Yeah.
I put my index finger on R1, and I put my middle finger on R2.
I also agree with Justin.
So weird.
It's weird. It's fine, though.
Your middle finger is not as powerful as your index finger.
Yeah, but it's faster. I'm not switching back and forth between them.
How often
are you... Why are you switching back and forth between them frequently?
I don't know. But, I mean, depending on the game, you... Like, depend...
When I was playing Armored Core, I was definitely putting all fingers on buttons.
That's what I'm saying. Depending on what game I play, it is advantageous. And so I just learned to play that way so I could play any game like that.
Mm. Still weird.
So that way, like, when I'm playing Overwatch, I don't have to switch back and forth. Mm. Like, you need all your fingers on all those buttons.
Listeners, vote in the poll today.
Yeah.
Do you use two buttons on your shoulder buttons?
No, we don't. Also, we've already had this conversation.
Yeah, I know.
But it's just, it's still striking me weird.
I now I'm talking about crit rate for a second. I really do want there to be a, like, because I want to know how many people play invertedly. I want to know how many people don't play invertedly. I want to know how many people play. I feel like I meet so many different people play styles differently.
Do you
like
play invertedly?
No, I don't. But like, I do know people who do. It's just like there are different ways that people like the two fingers on the shoulder pad.
I mean, I used to, but then so many games are not inverted anymore that it was just impractical to play that way.
N64 era, that's I played everything inverted.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, up until...
You guys switched?
PS2 on, couldn't ever do anything but normal.
No.
Like, I cannot play inverted anymore.
Honestly?
But N64, when I was playing GoldenEye, 100% I was playing inverted.
100%. I played everything until, like, recently. I would say until, like, 5 years ago.
I'm trying to think of games that are, like that. Yeah. Star Fox.
Star Fox was
GoldenEye.
Game. That makes sense.
Jet Force
like
Gemini.
Like, once I started playing shooters,
anything that's moving a reticle, I would do inverted.
Yeah.
Wild. I've never switched off of non-inverted standard.
Well, because back in the day, it defaulted on inverted
a lot of the time.
It's like that's how we learned how to play. Playing Star Fox, you played inverted.
Yeah.
Well, that it's because you're an airplane. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then it just became like I started doing that for everything.
I'm trying to think of the first time I experienced GoldenEye inverted controls.
Normally?
I think it might be by default.
I mean, if that's the case.
I don't think so.
We can find this out right now.
You were using the C buttons to move up and down.
Yeah.
No, and I think this, when you press R1 or R and you moved it around, I'm pretty sure it just went like this, and I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was not inverted.
I think it's inverted. I'm almost positive.
How would we check this real quick?
I have an N64 and a copy of GoldenEye right there.
I mean, we could also just look it up.
That's not nearly as much fun. Okay, plug it in.
Let's wrap up the podcast.
That's what I'm saying. We can't have the answer on the podcast.
But the answer needs to be on the podcast.
That's the way we look it up.
We have to look it up now.
That's fine.
Liz, if you will.
Yeah. I just wanted to turn on GoldenEye. And then we play, a couple of rounds of Power Weapons Complex. Let's do it. No?
No.
I almost got you.
I mean, almost. Yeah, I want to know this.
GoldenEye had default controls inverted.
It says you can switch them on and off.
I had a friend who used to play inverted all the time.
You're right.
Defaults on inverted.
GoldenEye 007 for N64 has inverted controls by default.
Boom.
Wow.
I knew it.
On single player mode.
Yeah.
And you can't change the setting on multiplayer.
That's what I mean. I think, this is to your point, I think there was that generation where it was almost always inverted by default.
Yeah.
And then at some point, I think maybe Halo was the first game that made it not by default. Because it lets you choose at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with GoldenEye,
shooters changed the landscape. And I didn't start playing shooters till like 2010. So that's when I started switching.
I'll put it this way. I probably didn't know what the word inverted meant during the N64 era, So I wouldn't know to go to the menu and find the control for the checkbox for inverted and change it.
I was just like, this is how games are played.
Whereas like in Halo, it's like, do you like this or do you like this? And then you select one.
I want to see the data on who's playing invertedly nowadays and who's not, and if it's an age difference thing. Like, imagine if it was. What a fascinating.
I am certain that people younger than us do not play on
it. I guarantee almost nobody does.
Yeah.
Here's a pause. Could you imagine playing a PC game inverted? No way.
Yeah, probably
no
not.
No way.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
You know, it used to be terrible. The original Kingdom Hearts, I played inverted everything. Inverted left, right, and up and down.
There are certain games that do that. If you play the original Sonic Adventure, you can't manipulate the camera. You manipulate it with R and L.
And
it's backwards.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Kingdom Hearts was, I think it was R and L at the time, and they eventually moved it to the sticks. But like something about what stick it was, like I just... what button it was, it like translated to me into being inverted left.
There are a couple of games where I find the X
axis. So I did that for a long time and I was like, all right, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all grew up at one point.
Yeah.
All right, we'll put a pin in this. I will put a poll in this podcast. We can attach polls to the podcast. So the sample size is going to be way less, but listeners, vote in the poll. Tell us if you play inverted or if you don't. The original question was if you put two fingers on the shoulder buttons,
which nobody does that. I know nobody does that. I understand nobody does that, but I still think tactically.
We're not judging you.
You can judge me all you want. I'm saying I made the decision so that I could play games more tactically, and I feel like it was the right decision, and I feel good about it.
Yeah.
So cool. I don't care what you think.
That's fair. That's cool.
Very cool.
That's cool.
All right, let's put a pin in it.
Instead of run, that's fine. Weird, but it's fine.
I have to finish packing. We're going to PAX tomorrow.
I didn't pack at all.
So we got to do that. We'll figure it out. Anyway, for right now, thank you, listeners, for joining us on this week's episode of the Crit Rate Podcast. Please vote in our poll. Check out critrate.io. Rate some new games. Rate Rise of the Ronin for Liz. She needs to know.
Is
this the game for her?
Yeah.
And in the meantime, I hope everyone's enjoying Final Fantasy or whatever it is that you're playing. And thank you, Liz. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
And we'll see you all in the next one. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.